They followed through the double doors and along the narrow corridor beyond, which was lined with more portraits of famous healers, and lit by crystal bubbles full of candles that floated up on the ceiling, looking like giant soap suds. More witches and wizards in lime-green robes walked in and out of the doors they passed. A foul-smelling yellow gas wafted into the passageway as they passed one door, and every now and then they heard distant wailing. They climbed a flight of stairs and entered the creature-induced injuries corridor, where the second door on the right bore the words, "Dangerous, Di Llewellyn Ward, Serious Bites." Underneath this was a card in a brass holder on which had been written, "Healer in Charge, Hippocrates Smethwick, Trainee Healer, Augustus Pye."
"We'll wait outside, Molly," Tonk said. "Arthur won't want too many visitors at once. It ought to be just the family first."
Mad-Eye growled his approval of this idea and set himself with his back against the corridor wall, his magical eyes spinning in all directions. Harry drew back too, but Mrs. Weasley reached out a hand and pushed him through the door, saying,
"Don't be silly, Harry. Arthur wants to thank you."
The ward was small and rather dingy, as the only window was narrow and set high in the wall facing the door. Most of the light came from more shining crystal bubbles clustered in the middle of the ceiling. The walls were of panelled oak, and there was a portrait of a rather vicious-looking wizard on the wall captioned, "Urquhart Rackharrow, 1612 to 1697, inventor of the entrail-expelling curse." There were only three patients. Mr. Weasley was occupying the bed at the far end of the ward beside the tiny window. Harry was pleased and relieved to see that he was propped up on several pillows and reading the Daily Prophet by the solitary ray of sunlight falling onto his bed. He looked around as they walked toward him, and, seeing whom it was, beamed.
"Hello," he called, throwing the prophet aside. "Bill just left Molly, had to get back to work, but he says he'll drop in on you later."
"How are you, Arthur?"
asked Mrs. Weasley, bending down to kiss his cheek and looking anxiously into his face. "You're still looking a bit peaky."
"I feel absolutely fine," said Mr. Weasley brightly, holding out his good arm to give Ginny a hug. "If they could only take the bandages off, I'd be fit to go home."
"Why can't they take them off, Dad?" asked Fred.
"Well, I start bleeding like mad every time they try," said Mr. Weasley cheerfully, reaching across for his wand, which lay on his bedside cabinet,
and waving it so that six extra chairs appeared at his bedside to seat them all.
"It seems there was some rather unusual kind of poison in that snake's fangs that keeps wounds open. They're sure they'll find an antidote, though. They say they've had much worse cases than mine, and in the meantime, I just have to keep taking a blood-replenishing potion every hour. But that fellow over there,"
he said, dropping his voice and nodding toward the bed opposite in which a man lay, looking green and sickly and staring at the ceiling.
"Bitten by a werewolf. Poor chap. No cure at all."
"A werewolf?" whispered Mrs. Weasley, looking alarmed. "Is he safe in a public ward? Shouldn't he be in a private room?"
"It's 2 weeks till full moon," Mr. Weasley reminded her quietly. "They've been talking to him this morning, the healers, you know, trying to persuade him he'll be able to lead an almost normal life. I said to him, didn't mention names, of course, but I said, I knew a werewolf personally, very nice man, who finds the condition quite easy to manage."
"What did he say?" asked George.
"Said he'd give me another bite if I didn't shut up,"
said Mr. Weasley sadly.
"And that woman over there,"
he indicated the only other occupied bed, which was right beside the door,
"won't tell the healers what bit her, which makes us all think it must have been something she was handling illegally. Whatever it was took a real chunk out of her leg. Very nasty smell when they take off the dressings."
"So you're going to tell us what happened, Dad?"
asked Fred, pulling his chair closer to the bed.
"Well, you already know, don't you?"
said Mr. Weasley with a significant smile at Harry.
"It's very simple. I'd had a very long day, dozed off, got sneaked upon, and bitten."
"Is it in the Prophet you've been attacked?"
asked Fred, indicating the newspaper Mr. Weasley had cast aside.
"No, of course not," said Mr. Weasley with a slightly bitter smile. "The Ministry wouldn't want everyone to know a dirty great serpent got..."
"Arthur,"
said Mrs. Weasley warningly.
"Got... me,"
Mr. Weasley said hastily, though Harry was quite sure that was not what he had meant to say.
"So where were you when it happened, Dad?"
asked George.
"That's my business,"
said Mr. Weasley, though with a small smile. He snatched up the Daily Prophet, shook it open again and said,
"I was just reading about Willie Widdershin's arrest when you arrived. You know, Willie turned out to be behind those regurgitating toilets last summer. One of his jinxes backfired, the toilet exploded, and they found him lying unconscious in the wreckage, covered from head to foot in..."
"When you say you were on duty," Fred interrupted in a low voice, "what were you doing?"
"You heard your father," whispered Mrs. Weasley. "We are not discussing this here. Go on about Willie Widdershin's, Arthur."
"Well, don't ask me how, but he actually got off on the toilet charge," said Mr. Weasley grimly. "I can only suppose gold changed hands.